Inner Voice, a heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Fujian Zeng, and this is the Inner Voice Show. And hello to Sean in studio, and a big hello to all of you. This is a show about what matters most in our life, our minds, our thoughts, feelings, actions, relationships, and our fulfillment in this beautiful journey of life. In this show, I will share the tip of the week about living joyously with you. Then I will answer your questions in the Ask Me segment about loving someone and wanting to marry them, even though your families are against it. I will share the latest research about children associate power and masculinity as early as 4 years old, even in countries considered to be more egalitarian like Norway. Researchers also show that in some situations, the power-masculinity association does not manifest in girls. So talk about masculinity. I am so excited to bring you Dr. Ed Adams, co-author of Reinventing Masculinity, The Liberating Power of Compassion and Connection. He's a licensed psychologist in private practice who specializes in treating men in individual and group therapy for more than 30 years, and he is also the founder of Men Mentoring Men. I love to hear from you. So connect with me through my website, fujian.com, and follow my social media and message me with your comments and topics of interest. Love to hear from you. But first, we're going to listen to the tip of the week.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Take KMET 1490 AM with you everywhere you go by downloading our free smartphone apps found on the KMET website, KMET1490AM.com. You can also go to the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store on your phone to download the free app. Now you can listen live or play any of your favorite programmers' podcasts using your smartphone. Don't miss out on the free KMET smartphone apps. Go to KMET1490AM.com and download your free phone app today.
This is Dr. Fujian Zeng, and this is the tip of the week. The joy of getting gifts for all our loved ones and the joy of seeing their happiness and excitement when they open their presents is just great. It is so sad that we can't be together at holiday gatherings and have to exchange gifts by dropping them off and then have Zoom festivities. Or sit outside in the freezing cold and just kind of like be together as we're with a mask and really further apart and can't even hug each other. You know, I'm grateful that technology allows us to connect from across the world. It's been quite a holiday and yet filled with love. I also have been thinking of all the people that their loved ones are not with them and they have to live in their remembrance. I also have been thinking of the families that have been going through hardship and cannot have the same celebration or gift giving that they had in previous years. My heart is with everyone who's feeling lonely or sad on this holiday. Please accept my love. May you celebrate every day of your life for the precious being that you are. May you give love with no restrictions and allow yourself to receive the love that is out there for you. The assured feeling that there is love in the world and all that I need to do is to feel it, receive it, and own it. You will never feel lonely again. Trust me.
It's much easier to live in this loving world versus the projection that there's a cold world out there and there's everybody's out to get me and I need to protect myself and nobody loves me. Yes, we all need an accurate assessment of when we need to protect ourselves when needed. However, overall, there are more opportunities to give and receive love at every moment. These times of pandemic has brought so many people together again, cherishing each other and valuing each other. So let's open our hearts and hands and give of ourselves. List everybody in your life that you want to share your love with. Call them, text them, video them, and let them know. Then think of all the people who you know love you dearly, even if they haven't shared it with you. Call them, text them, video them, and let them know that you appreciate them. Look in the mirror. Look at yourself and cherish yourself. And tell yourself that you love yourself and every part of your body. And appreciate the body, the vessel that you actually live in. We're completing 2020. Let's look at your greatness last year. What did you like in all the stuff that you did? What didn't you like about yourself? And you can commit to shifting those things and learning new skills if you didn't like some of the things you've done. What thoughts would you commit to have for 2021? What emotions would you commit to feel? What actions do you commit to and what results are you aiming for? To get to become aware of all parts of you and integrating them to feel whole and fulfilled, read my book, Life Reset, The Awareness Integration Path to Creating the Life You Want. Life is yours, so live joyously.
Take KMET 1490 AM with you everywhere you go by downloading our free smartphone apps found on the KMET website, KMET1490AM.com. You can also go to the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store on your phone to download the free app. Now you can listen live or play any of your favorite programmers' podcasts using your smartphone. Don't miss out on the free KMET smartphone apps. Go to KMET1490AM.com and download your free phone app today.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want by Dr. Fujian Zain. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want. You deserve it. Well, hello. This is the Ask Me Anything segment, and I'm Dr. Fujian Zain. Well, the question that came is from a lady who says, I am in love with someone who is blind, and we want to get married. And my family does not accept it, and they're not in favor of this. They don't agree with it. So what do I do? I think that it's beautiful that when we are in love with someone, that we open our heart and whatever issues that show up, whether someone has an illness or has a condition or has a particular way of being, that our compassion, our acceptance, it's all there. So as long as the relationship that you have, it's beautiful and you're looking at the quality of the relationship and you're willing to be together, I think that's wonderful. The other side is that any type of condition might have its own complications. And I think that you need to be aware and know those complications for you. Obviously, your love, your mate, is living through all the conditions that he's going through and he's having and all the complications that are there. But I think you also have to be honest with yourself and see, as time goes on, year after year, on a daily concepts, as you get older, as you have children, what are your expectations? How would that affect you? And if you can imagine yourself years after years of handling these situations, however they show up. Thank God you know some of these situations so that you can look at them and prepare for them. Some people think all is well, and then suddenly something shows up in their life, which they weren't really looking for, and they have to adjust. This one, you know, and you know how to adjust to it for yourself. As far as the family goes, most families, they just want somebody to love you, and they want you to be happy. And if you've been with this man for a long time and you know that this person makes you happy, I think that you might have a great conversation with them and share with them that you have looked at the different aspects of this. Listen to them. Let them share with you what their concerns are, not their prejudice or, you know, their personal negative thoughts, but is there a point in their conversations or their worry that you could learn from, that you could come back and look at some solutions and go back to them and say, thank you for your concern. This is the way that I'm handling it. Or this is the way that me and my mate have actually talked about it. And, you know, we're going to take that into consideration. And beyond that, family is important. But I think that sometimes they have really good points, which you have to listen. They know you. They want the best for you. So I'm sure that if they have some concerns, are because of your best interest. But they're not the one who has to live day in and out with someone, and you get to choose that. So if you honor yourself, if you trust yourself with listening to their points, you make your own determination and see what's best for you. After looking at all the facts, all the logical facts, all the emotional facts, check in with your intuition too, and see what your intuition and gut feeling says. And a combination of all of it, logic, emotion, and intuition, make up your mind. And I'm positive you'll make the right one.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Well, here's the latest research on masculinity. As early as 4 years old, children associate power and masculinity, even in countries considered to be more egalitarian like Norway. This is what scientists at the Institut de Science Cognitive, Mark Jernard, report in collaboration with the universities of Oslo in Norway, published in the Journal of Sex Roles. They also show that in some situations, the power-masculinity association does not manifest in girls. We know little about how representations of power interact with gender in early childhood. Researchers wanted to know whether children aged 3 to 6 years old in France, Lebanon, and Norway attribute more power to masculine figures than feminine figures. In a first experiment, they showed the children a picture of two non-gendered individuals. One of them adopted a dominant physical posture and the other a subordinate posture. First, the children had to guess which one of these two individuals were exerting power over the other. Next, they had to assign a gender to each individual. Who is the girl? Who is the boy? The results reveal that from 4 years old, a large majority of children consider the dominant individual to be a boy. The Power Masculinity Association was observed in both boys and girls, and just as much in Lebanon as in France and Norway. However, it was not significant in three-year-old children. In a second experiment, this time in children aged 4 and 5 years old, all in school in France had to imagine themselves in the picture and imagine the other person as a boy or a girl. When the children had to consider their power relation with the person of the same gender as themselves, the girls and boys both largely identified with the dominant character. But when they had to consider their power relation with the person of the opposite gender, boys identified more often with the dominant character, whereas girls did not significantly identify more with one or the other character. Finally, in the third experiment, children aged 4 and 5 years old in Lebanon and France watched a series of exchanges between two puppets, one representing a girl and the other a boy, behind a broad number. In one case, the puppets were getting ready to play a game together, and the child heard one impose their choices on the other. In the other case, one puppet had more money than the other to buy ice cream. In France and Lebanon, most of the boys thought that the puppet that imposed their choices or that had more money was a male puppet. However, the girls in both countries did not attribute the dominant position preferably to one or the other gender. These results show that children have early sensitivity to a gender hierarchy, though in some situations, girls do not associate power and masculinity. But the scientists now hope to find out what power forms they attribute to feminine figures and whether they legitimize the expression of gendered power. So boys do associate power with masculinity. And this is the subject of our conversation today. Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want by Dr. Fujian Zain. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want. You deserve it.
Take KMET 1490 AM with you everywhere you go by downloading our free smartphone apps found on the KMET website, KMET1490AM.com. You can also go to the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store on your phone to download the free app. Now you can listen live or play any of your favorite programmers' podcasts using your smartphone. Go to KMET1490AM.com and download your free phone app today.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Well, welcome back, everyone. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain, and I am excited to have Dr. Ed Adams with us. He is a co-author of Reinventing Masculinity, The Liberating Power of Compassion and Connection. He's a licensed psychologist in a private practice who has treated men in individual and group therapy for more than 30 years.
is a past president of the Society for Psychological Study of Men and Masculinity of the American Psychological Association. And in 1990, he founded Men Mentoring Men, a nonprofit organization in New Jersey designed to help men live larger and more meaningful life. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Pujan. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I really enjoyed your book. And let me say why.
Okay.
And I want to go through the book, but on a personal level, I just want to share this with you that I've been abused by men since childhood. My father was not around. So I had this image of men who were just bad. And then I started having relationships. So this dichotomy, this paradox of if men are bad, then how can I be in relationship with them? So I had to really create good men in order for me to want to have relationship with them. Mm-hmm. And this essence of men became very interesting to me, but especially because I became very independent. You know, I worked since I was 17 and I wasn't going to rely on any men because it wasn't going to be there. And then there's this secret concept of my own femininity that it could only exist if the person who was my man had his own masculinity. And if they didn't, then I had to tap into my masculinity and lost my own femininity. So through these relationships, I really got how important it is for men to define who they are and be so clear with who they are. And so when I was going through your book, I really, really enjoyed this construct of honoring who a man needs to be for themselves and how they can bring all sides of them, kind of like, you know, to experience all sides of them. So
yes.
I want to share that with you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That was one of the important essences of the book, is to emphasize to men and women that men have multiple dimensions. And if we identify, for example, with one dimension, like the angry man or the I have to be aggressive in order to get ahead in business or to discipline my children and so on, or I have to be hypersexual in order to do that, then a man gets trapped into what we call confined masculinity. The ideas about how to be a human being contained like in a cage, not able to express its full dimensionality. We're encouraging men to look at the fact that they have many dimensions, or another way of putting it is they have many archetypes inside of them. And so why not express them? Because I have noticed that the more a man expands his dimensions, the happier he becomes.
Absolutely. You say confined masculinity refers to a set of attitudes, values, behaviors that define how men should show up in the world. And three of the main roles that you have defined in your book are the protector, the provider, and the conqueror. How is being confined in those three roles hurt men as well as women who are in partnership with them or in work with them or any way related to them?
That's an excellent question. If a man sees his role as a protector, we put in a book, a man said to me, I know I'm a good protector. In fact, I have a 357 Magnum in my drawer upstairs, and if somebody walks into this house, they're going to be really sorry. So he was identifying with his protectiveness, with his ability to physically protect or sacrifice his own life to save the family. But really underneath that is violence and aggression. And certainly, we're not saying that a man shouldn't or a woman shouldn't protect themselves. But what we're saying is that protection takes on dimensions. For example, if your wife has a need to, if a man's wife has a need to express herself, then listening to her and empathizing with her is a form of protection. Being able to be with your children in an emotional way, to be available to them emotionally, is a way of protection. It's also a way to, of providing. So the idea that providing is about making money and protection is about physical protection, and it's confined in that, hurts everyone, including the man, because it diminishes his dimensionality to reach out to people he loves and to the larger community.
There also an essence of a feeling of shame that shows up if a man does not fulfill those three roles or does not want to, right, or has a little bit more of like an emotional side, which is connected a little bit more like with a femininity than masculinity. I've noticed with men who I've worked with for so long, there is a desire to feel connected with themselves and others, but it's almost like that has to be done in my office or with their mate, which is very like sacred, and they think they won't be judged. But the minute they go in front of other men, they have to have this pretense. So sometimes the pretense is men toward their peers, like in front of their peers, they
right.
have to mm-hmm. pull this through. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, well, that what you just said is supported by the data as well. Men, you know, I have a thing on my refrigerator that says, "Don't believe what you think." You know, it's like, and so men have desires to be expressive. They have desires to be intimate. They want to be intimate. They want to be connected. They want to be creative, or they want to be jokey and have fun. But if they see those behaviors as sort of against the man rules, then they're going to, again, fall into that confined notion of an expression of their masculinities. The American Psychological Association, Division 51, of which I was past president, changed its name from the studies of men and masculinity to using the plural masculinities, because it's important that men know that there are many, many ways in which they can express themselves within their masculine skin, that it isn't about a way of being, it's a multifaceted way of being. So the title wanted to express that, so we changed our division's title to Men and Masculinities.
In your book, you talk about liberating men and the yes. masculinities, and you refer to two meanings. The first is the sense that men are freed to live bigger, fuller, more imaginative lives. And the second is that there's a masculinity that involves freeing others. As such, it is an emancipation that works both inwardly and outwardly, and is about freedom for an individual man as well as the man liberating others. Can you share, obviously going from the term confinement and being confined, to liberating themselves. Can you share a little bit about the two meaning that you have talked about in your book?
Yes. We grow up with, no one ever sits a man down and says, here are the rules. Here's how you're supposed to be a man. And in fact, the conversation typically never comes up in a man's life. But we acquire these ideas through the culture, through television, through movies, through interacting with each other on the sport field or in schools, and certainly on the streets, we learn the rules of masculinity. And a man starts to mature, falls into some relationships, and tries to apply these rules. lo and behold, to find that they don't work all that well. For example, not expressing your own feelings. That doesn't work real well in a loving relationship. Being hypersexual or looking at women as objects. That doesn't work so well in an intimate relationship, et cetera, et cetera. So naturally, men will start to, in a sense, weed out and the rules that work and the rules that don't work. What we're trying to do is make that process conscious, make it mindful, make it purposeful and deliberate, so that men are free to begin to see that they can let go of the rules that don't work and to be able to express a full range of feeling, to express vulnerability, to express a sense of joy when things work out, and to hold a sense of equanimity, which means that I can stay centered even in when things around me are very difficult or falling apart, and which is a process. That's not like you wake up one day and you're doing that. And it changes in a man's life as he matures and goes through the aging process. So, but what we're trying to do is liberate men to break away from that crouched, confined definition and find that he has the ability to express himself in the world in many, many dimensional ways. Not only will he be happier, but the people around him will be happier.
Definitely. You talk about two elements here where, I mean, we talk about, you talk about five C's, which I'll share with everyone about the conversation of in order to liberate. You suggest five crucial ingredients, which are curiosity, courage, compassion, connection, and commitment. But compassion and connection, you put a specific, like more priority on, let's say, or yes, specify more. Can you share how come those two out of all the five that you have suggested, the compassion and connection is the two that are most important? Mm-hmm.
Well, Fujian, I in my practice, and which is, I would say, 95% men now, I have noticed that I have and witnessed men do incredible compassionate things. Let me define compassion the way we're using it. It's the ability to see the suffering in yourself and others, and then taking action to relieve that suffering. So when a man sees the suffering his child is going through because maybe they broke up with a date or didn't get the grades they wanted or got into trouble, his ability to see the suffering rather than just the disappointment and to respond to the suffering in a way that is trying to relieve the suffering of somebody they care a great deal about. Men typically have not associated compassion as a masculine trait. And I've been on a rampage trying to get men to see that the idea of their compassion, which is natural and built in to them, is indeed an identifiable masculine trait. And so to stop putting compassion into the closet and let it rip, let it come out. And that is expressed within himself as well. In a men's center that I founded, we have a sign that says, I never beat myself up gently. Men can be very harsh. I know women can too, but men can be very harsh on themselves and silently suffer because they're not supposed to show their vulnerability or their weakness, what they perceive as a weakness. And so self-compassion comes in here, where he has the courage to see his own suffering and then do something about that, to relieve it, to find a voice, to take an action that will make him feel more whole and more complete as a person.
One of the things that showed up for me as you were talking, and I want to check that with you, some of these traits have been assigned under femininity, and some traits have been assigned under masculinity. I'm almost kind of hearing you say, we don't have to assign these under different things and say, okay, I'm a man who now has to be, who has to tap into my femininity, or I'm a woman that has to tap into my masculinity. The point is that there are attributes, there are concepts that we all have. And if a man experiences compassion as masculinity, not as a feminine part of themselves, or they have to, you know, kind of like move toward that, but to really take compassion and connection and own it as part of their masculinity, then the level of ownership and the allowance that they can live it, they can express it, they can be free with it, it becomes their own. And somehow maybe the reservation or feeling shame about it, or kind of like holding back, because then if I'm assigning it to femininity, then I must have to let go of my masculinity to go that in that realm. And then kind of, I don't have to lose myself in that way, but I gain it. It becomes inclusive within my realm. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Yes, that is exactly what you're hearing. And that is what liberating is. It's like, it's liberating those traits from being confined to an assigned idea. A vulnerable man, we had a man in Men Mentoring Men who was diagnosed with testicular cancer. And he had to have surgery within 3 days. Word went out to the membership of the organization. We called an emergency meeting. 18 very busy men showed up one evening to meet with Jerry, to be with him in the idea of his fear of the surgery, his being perplexed that it was testicular cancer and how that affects his idea of his own masculinity. And when he tells that story, he still cries. And this was about 20 years ago that this happened. And while he was in the hospital and recovering, men were visiting him or taking him to the hospital for some treatments. Most men will not even let family members know that they have a diagnosis. But what Jerry experienced is what other men ought to experience, which is the connection that they receive from other people who have the compassion and the willingness to be with him at a time of great need. Why suffer alone? Why did we invent that? Why do men invent the idea of I'm not supposed to express myself? It's what I refer to as a silly rule. And so the more of those silly rules we give up, the more human we become. Then the more connected we become. And in the world the way it is right now, and the way it's been, if we don't express compassion, not only towards ourselves and towards those we love, but towards others, we're going to be in deep trouble. And if we don't connect with not only those we love and those around us, but to the earth itself and population, to other peoples, we're going to be in deep trouble, because it will create a cultural confinement. And I'm afraid we've been in that period, at least here in the United States, we've been in that period. And hopefully we will be breaking away from that, because we're finding that doesn't work. We are connected and we do need each other and we do depend upon each other. And it's an ancient Buddhist thought that everything that we have is attributed to the kindness of others. Mm-hmm. and we're not isolated. And so when men isolate themselves or think that they ought to be in order to be a rugged individual man, he's really limiting himself. He's really confining his life. It's sad.
So if you talk about, in a chapter in your book, you talk about reinvention and talking about masculinity itself has to be reinvented so that obviously men don't confine themselves in a particular role, but also how would that be in the environment of work? I know that there's been a lot of movement in how to change those roles within a construct of an intimate relationship or marriages. And then there's also maybe shift in an organizational level. And as maybe women are also coming up in whether it's the government or, you know, corporations or women-owned businesses, and they're coming up in those realms, well, that they would have to kind of like partner up with men. How would you consider this concept of reinventing the masculinity would look like at a work environment or professional environment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my co-author Ed Fraunheim really focused on this in the book, and as we were working on that chapter, I was learning from him. And what he, because he is not a psychologist, his specialty area is masculinity in the workplace. And one of the things that Ed Fraunheim mentions in the book and repeats repeatedly is that the workplace is changing. And this masculine model of top down, do as I say, I'm in command, is waning and on its way out. And a more collaborative, a more connected work environment that takes into account the lives of the people that are working, that when a baby's born, you're not going to be the same as if you had no children. You're going to have another responsibility. As if there's an illness in the family, it matters and it'll affect your workplace. So the more the work environment begins to match or accommodate for our daily lives, the happier the worker is, then the more productive the worker is, and the more retention employers have of key figures within the organization. So we're talking about work sort of shifting away from that dominant masculine model to an egalitarian model.
So more like a cooperative versus an
cooperative, yeah.
Great.
And it is happening. It's happening. It's not an idea. It's actually in examples throughout industry in our country.
You talk about honoring the soul of a man. Share what you mean by the soul of a man.
Yes, that was a chapter very important to me. And the soul of a man, as I begin the chapter, I say, basically, that to define soul is to make it cognitive, that it needs to be more ethereal, and we need to accept it as a kind of thing. Like, you know, when soul exists, you could look at a painting and you could go, "What a that is technically really beautiful," but it doesn't stir you inside. Or you could hear a song, or you could see a play, and you, it moves you to tears. That's touching soul. That's touching essence. That is saying, the work of art is sharing with you something that matters to humanity, to our humanity. And so I want men to identify a deeper soul within themselves, so that when they are being gentle to their children, or laughing with their wife, or being intimate sensually or sexually, that this is an expression of presence, And presence, the more present they are, the more soul is involved in it. The more their availability to the experience of life itself is there. And the soul of a man is, I have seen profound things within men, and but I want them to not just be hollowed out, but to find ways to be creative, to express themselves, to work in ways that give them pleasure, to expand their dimensions, to deepen their intimacy, and to live a more connected and certainly more compassionate life. That will deepen and enrich their very soul.
So the million-dollar question, when it comes to intimate relationship, whether in, you know, whether all the women want to know who are in heterosexual relationships, or men want to know about men in homosexual relationships, when it comes into intimacy and actual relationships and marriages, what do men want? The reinvented man, the one who is liberated, what does he desire?
Intimacy. And if he expresses, if he thinks the only available or the most available way for him to achieve that intimacy is through sex, then sex takes on a much deeper dimension than it needs to, actually, because the intimacy can exist in a glance at someone. It could exist in a hug. It can exist in a comment. It can exist in a phone call, and it can exist in the way that we touch each other and laugh with each other. And so, again, liberating the idea of intimacy into a larger perspective, so it isn't loaded into sexing. And although it is a profoundly intimate act, it is not the only way that men can feel that they're living an intimate life. And so hold on to the idea that sex is intimate, but expand that notion to say, how intimate can I be with my kids? How intimate can I be with my taking a walk and noticing something in the environment that I never noticed before? How can I be more present, more available?
Thank you. Our last minute, is there anything we haven't talked about and you really want our listeners and viewers to know?
Well, I want the viewers to know that I have a lot of respect, profound respect for men. And the more I work with men, the more in love with men and masculinity I become, because I see men self-sacrifice as I look at my own father, who's been gone for quite some time, but he would get up 3 o'clock in the morning every morning to go to work. And he would come home tired and grouchy. He was in the Second World War on Guadalcanal. He had PTSD. And as a kid, I was like confused because I saw the dark side of that. But when I started to understand him, I started to see, look how much he sacrificed, as men sacrifice. Look at the best years of his life that he gave to this country. Look at the idea of the way that he would wake up in the morning to make sure that we were educated and fed. He is a spokesperson for so many men throughout the world. But let yourself go. Don't be confined. Be liberated.
Wonderful. Everyone, Dr. Ed Adams, and please get the book, Reinventing Masculinity, the Liberating Power of Compassion and Connection. And you can find the book at the website reinventingmasculinity.com. It's been a pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, thank you, Fujian. I really enjoyed this. So it's wonderful that you're bringing this dialogue to the larger public. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And everyone, create an amazing life for yourself and everyone around you, and saying goodbye to 2020 and looking forward to 2021. Until next week, bye-bye.